voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here. I'm the man.
The voice of the people. This is the Peter Boyle Show.
Sure is. It's straight up 5 a.m. Oh, dark 30 on a Monday morning, 2 days before Christmas 2019. So hard to believe, and what a good-looking day it is. 60 degrees for the high today. I had hoped for some snow tomorrow night. That was in the forecast when I did my show on Saturday. Looks like that's going to stay up in the snow, so up in the mountains. So no white Christmas down here in the city, but 2 days away. I'm Randy Corcoran in for Peter Boyle today. We'll hear from Peter a little bit later on. Big event tonight at the Centennial Gun Club. And our first guest at the 6 o'clock hour is going to be somebody I just love and you'll want to stick around for. It's Katie Hopkins. Be talking to her live from London. Nighttime over there now, or at least, I guess it's about mid-afternoon. 8 or 9 hours is the difference. But she's going to have a lot to say about Brexit and a very interesting statement that the Prime Minister Boris Johnson gave regarding Hanukkah and anti-Semitism in Great Britain. So tell you more about more of the show, but right now we've got Mark Howington sitting by. We've all got fill-in duty.
We do.
This week, and I guess we'll turn you on, maybe. So to speak. Let's not let anybody get carried away.
No carried away here.
Mark Howington with the news. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Let's take care of some business first. This report sponsored by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit scores and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma today. Download the Credit Karma app now. Well, President Trump gave a speech in Florida over the weekend, criticized House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for holding off sending the articles of impeachment against him to the Senate. Trump told a group of young conservatives that it's so unfair. He argued that Pelosi adopted the strategy because she has no case and said they're violating the Constitution. Now, Missouri Senator Roy Blunt said on CNN's State of the Union that he doesn't think Democratic House leaders are able to withhold the articles of impeachment legally that passed last week from the Senate. Well, Saudi Arabia sentencing 5 people to death for the murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. The kingdom's public prosecutor announced the sentences just today. The Saudi-born Khashoggi was a legal resident of the U.S. and killed inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul last year. He was a frequent critic of the Saudi government. Christmas week travel, I'll tell you what, if you are on the road or in the air flying toward the south and along the west coast, oh my goodness, low pressure system moving from the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic. There's going to pour out heavy rains across the Gulf Coast in the southeast. I've got a stepmother in Charleston, South Carolina, affected by this. And out west, Oregon, Northern California can expect more than 2 inches of rain, while Southern California is in as much of an inch of rain for today. So, again, traveling in those areas. And speaking of rough.
And need I repeat?
Yes.
60 degrees in Denver today.
Yeah, actually, I'm even hearing 65.
So, no kidding.
Yeah, cloudy skies, though.
I'm fighting off a cough, but it was so warm, so nice yesterday. Yes. I actually had to dig the Harley out. It's been weeks. And I used it to go get my cough medicine.
Okay. Which I see you have an abundance. Let's see. We've got peppermint tea. We've got honey. We've got Vicks. We've got where the cough drops are on the other side.
Four hours is a long haul.
Alka-Seltzer Plus. So. Oh, man, you're like a walking medicine cabinet over here.
I just want to be ready, you know. There's no fill-in for the fill-in.
That's true.
All right.
I hear you. Well, speaking of rough landings, by the way, United Flight 2429 Newark to Denver. Passengers took to Twitter claiming there was a landing gear collapse, and you can actually see sparks flying from the plane. Closed the runway. No injuries reported, thankfully. And this interesting note, Notre Dame Cathedral will not hold Christmas service for the first time in more than 200 years. And you may recall last April there was a fire that destroyed parts of that cathedral.
Yeah, that was a very suspicious fire. It was awfully interesting how quickly they stopped talking about the cause of that fire, how quickly they came up with the... Because there's video of Islamic women tiptoeing around outside, and just very, very suspicious. Not a topic I plan to jump into today, but You know, I used to fly small planes fairly regularly, and I've had several situations that were not like a jetliner with a landing gear that that won't go down. But for instance, I took off from Boulder one day, and it was interesting. As I took off, a plane had crashed there just a week or so earlier, and you could see the burn, you know, in the side of the field.
Not a good thing to see as you're climbing in the air.
Yeah, so, and, you know, I'm not one to worry. My plane was running fine, and it felt pretty good. And so I'm climbing out, and I did look over my shoulder and thought, man, oh, man, I wonder what happened there. I get up to 3,000 feet, which is the cruising altitude, to head over toward Longmont, because I was going to land in Longmont to pick up dog food.
Okay.
I used to fly to get special dog
just
food.
Trip it to the corner store.
Just building hours, you know. But I get up to 3,000 feet. I turn toward, and so when you're climbing, you're, of course, full throttle. I turn toward the Longmont, the city of Longmont, and I reach to the throttle to pull it down, back off a little bit from full throttle, and the engine drops down to an idle.
Oh!
So all of a sudden, it's just blum, 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 blum.
Oh!
You can almost see the propeller. It's going so slowly. And I push the thing in and out. And no throttle. I have no throttle. And so I had a passenger in the plane with me, an old friend of mine from Kansas, who lives in Kansas City now.
Is he still your friend?
Yeah. Well, this is really funny because the only thing that came out of my mouth, of course, my adrenaline just shot up.
Oh, sure.
And now I'm hyper-vigilant on what's going on. And so I turned to my friend. I didn't turn to him, but the only thing that came out of my mouth was, oh, bleep.
Uh-huh.
The throttle cable broke.
Oh.
And it turns out the cable hadn't broken once we got landed, which we did. The housing of the throttle cable had snapped off of the firewall. So the cable was still there, but the housing would just flop up and down, and it would not give me any throttle at all. So, I'd maybe 40 hours of flight is all, so not an experienced pilot. But they teach you a lot of different things in ground school and when you start
to
actually
fly. One of the
things
they teach you is that you have to have speed to stay in the air.
Yes, and you learn different speeds. You learn the speed that will get you the furthest distance for the least amount of altitude drop.
Okay.
You learn speeds that will give you the biggest climb, you know, for the shortest distance. Like if you're taking off from an airport that has trees around it and you've got to get up faster than normal. So the first thing I did was dial in for the most distance with the least amount of altitude drop.
Okay.
I think it was like 62 knots. And you have this big trim wheel, so you can kind of just adjust it so that the plane will keep itself at that attitude as it's losing altitude going forward. But the decision I had to make between Boulder and Longmont is, you know, a whole lot of country roads, farm fields, and everything else. And from 3,000 feet, they all look pretty flat.
But yes.
what they tell you in ground school and what you learn as you're, you know, when you're coming in and looking around is there's a lot of dips and ditches and little hills and things like that. You do not want to land on a road or in a field if you can avoid it. Plus, you have power lines to deal with.
Yes.
So the decision I had to make was, do I plop it down here in one of these fields or do I try and make it to the Longmont Airport? I'd made this trip several times, and so I decided that I could make it to the airport. No, I had no power now, but I decided I had enough altitude to make it to the Longmont Airport. Only problem is, in order to get to the airport, you have to fly over the city of Longmont.
Oh.
So as I'm, you know, and I'm losing altitude.
Yes.
Not super bad, but I'm going down. And what kills most, especially young, inexperienced pilots in a situation like that, is the panic as you're starting to get closer to the ground. You pull back on the wheel to try and climb, but you don't have any power, so you have no speed, so you stall.
Yes.
And when a plane stalls, it doesn't, like, nose down and crash into the ground. It falls down, sometimes ass first, just butt first down, or just flat even it can go down once it stops flying. So I had that in the back of my mind, but I made the decision to fly over the city of Longmont. And this is where it got really hairy, because once I got over the city, there was nowhere to go down. I had to make it to the airport. I got on the radio, announced an emergency, so no planes would, you know, cut in front of me. I had no way I could do a go around again or anything like that. And it was so close. And my buddy, he's just sitting there. Oh, but he's oblivious.
Okay.
I don't think he was paying. He'd never been in a small plane.
Okay.
So I'm sure he was kind of hyper excited about it. I don't think he realized what I had said or what it meant when I said, holy bleep.
He didn't know how much danger he was really in.
Right. And to his great credit, he stayed perfectly quiet. He didn't have anybody screaming or let me out of here or anything stupid, you know. And as we got close to the airport, the east-west runway of the Longmont airport, there's kind of an angled highway, and there's two roads, as I recall. It's been a long time since I've been up there, but two roads that kind of mix, kind of meet at the east end of that runway. And there's a fence around, or at least there used to be a fence around it. And as we're coming down, the right wheel of the, it's a little Cessna, so it's just a fixed landing gear. The right wheel bumps the street sign, just kaboom. And we drop in over the fence onto the runway. Of course, everybody's out there.
Yes.
And they've come, and we didn't even really need to be towed very far because we just rolled most of the way into where they needed to bring us in. My dog food was there. And the lady in the van who delivered it, that I'd go and pick it up from, she drove us back to Boulder.
Okay.
Because the plane wasn't going anywhere.
Right, right.
And so that was one of my real hairy experiences, that anytime I hear about something where people turn out okay, where,
yes,
where they survive, nobody's hurt or whatever,
yes,
it always takes me back to that moment. And I just can't imagine with a massive airline, you know, trying to keep, you have to keep your cool, obviously.
Yes.
But there's just so many things to think about to try and manipulate that thing down to the ground.
Well, and I they're not saying, so I don't know. But I wonder what kind of warning they really had, because it sounds like they landed and the gear collapsed.
And it just collapsed.
So yeah. I'm not even sure that they knew
there was
a problem.
The good thing about that is they're already on the ground,
yeah,
and it was probably just a normal landing. And as you know, if you fly much, some of the landings are pretty hard.
Yes.
They stick them because if there are crosswinds or whatever, they've got to get those wheels on the ground before the plane gets cockeyed at all. But once you're on the ground, even if you're sliding on your belly, you're a whole lot better off.
At least you're on the
ground.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, now I'm all worked up. It's my story for the day. You know, you talked about the group of young conservatives that, Donald Trump spoke to, and I got a chance to watch that speech, and I may get some audio together for that for tomorrow's show. It was just another remarkable speech for Donald Trump. But that wasn't just any group of young people. That was TPUSA, that's Charlie Kirk's organization. There were over 5,000 college and high school kids there, all just rabidly in support of the President of the United States. He was introduced by Rush Limbaugh.
Nice.
Laura Ingraham gave a heck of a speech, 45, 50 minutes worth of a speech before all of that. And it's really exciting for somebody like me who is has become, over the last 3 years, a massive Donald Trump supporter, just to see the level of enthusiasm by these rabid college kids. Because all you see on the news is the Antifa, mm-hmm, and the protests if a conservative shows up on,
yes,
the college campus or whatever.
Yes.
And so I just want to remind everybody out there, there is a whole nother side to the story that we don't hear very often. And to be of good cheer as we head into to 2020.
It is exciting to see young people who are coming up in the ranks, because we need replacements.
You know,
I mean, both you and I have got gray hair. And
speak for yourself.
Yeah. Hey, okay, I'll speak for you and me.
One of my cousins, there's a picture on Facebook of me holding my first grandson on his first birthday, 5 days or 6 days ago on the 17th. I'm holding him and he's looking at me and smiling, and I'm looking at him kind of curious. And one of my cousins, I didn't need to see this, she writes on there, "Oh, I see you're getting our grandfather's white hair." Just like me.
Love,
so it's
you
not even
too
gray anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's white.
She's older than I am, and she's got it too. But
yeah,
listen, the only alternative to aging isn't very desirable, so
yeah,
let's just rock on, right?
Exactly.
You also talked about Roy Blount, the senator who said, Pelosi can't legally withhold these articles of impeachment. And do you know if he gave any actual basis for that? Because that's one of the many questions out there.
It is. And I think that's part of the struggle, is that I don't know that anybody's got a clear answer. You would think, You know, obviously part of the impeachment process, if you watched it, they had these constitutional experts, you know, quote, experts, you know, talking about constitutional law. And I'm real curious because I don't know, I'll just be honest, what the Constitution says about the requirement to turn those articles of impeachment over. And so I have not heard anybody with a definitive answer on that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I wrote an editorial that got published in the Colorado Sun yesterday. And it's called Cory Gardner Will Do the Right Things, Acquit President Trump, and Win in 2020. So, of course, I'm under tremendous attack from lefties and
sure.
and from the never Trump, you know, constitutional conservative folks who say things sometimes that I actually agree with, but don't change my overall position that in this time with this president, with all the different pieces in play, that the focus has to be on reelecting incumbent Republicans and reelecting this president. But I, in the very first paragraph, I linked to Harvard professor Noah Feldman, who was the primary speaker at for the judicial, the primary legal scholar witness for the Democrats during the judicial committee hearings.
Yes.
And he wrote a piece that said, is it an impeachment if the vote isn't actually delivered to the Senate?
Right.
And he makes a pretty conclusive argument that it is not complete, that the president can say that he's not impeached at this point. And then, of course, the editors over at the Sun decided they needed to put in the other side, so they linked to Lawrence Tribe's opposition, both Harvard legal scholars, to that position.
Gotcha.
The Constitution is silent about it. Hmm. It just says the House shall have the sole power of impeachment. There are no rules or directions or guidelines. It says that the Senate shall have the whole sole power to try the impeachment. That's the language, try, a trial of
yes.
the impeachment. Nothing in the Constitution about what happens from when the House gets done to how it gets to the Senate.
Huh, interesting.
So then you have to turn to the Senate rules and the different rules that the House and the Senate have put together and look at how it's been done in the past, you know, precedential value. And in the past, always, almost immediately, like within hours of the vote, the House would submit the articles, they'd send their House managers over. And there's this whole process that the Senate, when the House person arrives, the speaker, the OEA person in the Senate announces that, you know, all people are to draw near and to remain silent upon threat of imprisonment. And that will, if this does get to trial, that will be the way they start every single day.
Okay.
And, but these rules can be changed.
Mm.
The Senate can change its own rules. The House can change its own rules.
Well, we saw that, obviously.
Good Lord, yeah. Yes. So it's really fascinating. You know, it's kind of Hollywood the way the mainstream media covers it. The president is guilty, he's heinous, he's a horrible person, everything. There could be no one worse in the history of the world than, you know, the president of the United States. They don't really talk about where we are historically, the thinnest and quickest and only partisan impeachment, you know, and all the shenanigans that were pulled in the House. But nobody really knows for sure what has to happen next. So this is just kind of like the two big strategists. I gave Nancy Pelosi maybe too much respect on Saturday for one of my listeners because I think they texted or called in and said, no, they called in. It was John, I remember, from Denver. He called in and said, you know, I get Pelosi's been around there a long time. I referred to her as like a master strategist. And he said, well, you can't give her those accolades unless you also throw in the fact that she's a fascist, you know, government control and is playing all these tools, whether ethically or morally or not, because they're playing this, we got to win, we got to win game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're watching the most fascinating strategizing between two masters, the president of the United States, you know, first elected office as president, and now perhaps the most successful presidency in the first 3 years in the history of presidencies. And then Nancy Pelosi, who in spite of a very weak hand, still manages to control the narrative and control the process. How will it play out?
Well, and I think it's interesting you're bringing up strategy because I think that's what's going on. I think they're going to be turned over to the Senate.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But you got to go, okay, what's in her mind? Why is she holding on to them? What does she expect she's going to gain from this? And I wonder, the thing that's been in the back of my mind is I wonder if it's going to backfire. Because,
well, it already seems to be. Yeah. I mean, record fundraising for Republicans. The polling continues to shift in favor of the president and against this very weak, thin, and quick impeachment. But I think she's still begging, hoping, looking, digging for. Chuck Schumer has said, and Shifty Schiff has said, we're going to keep looking for more evidence, which means their case, as far as they know, their case sucks. They know that they don't got it.
Yeah. Well, you're an attorney. I mean, you know that if you don't have a case, what do you got to do?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to find something. And if they're not finding it, yeah, that may be part of the strategy.
Yeah. Well, it's a great question to throw out to the listeners. 303-696-1971. President says he wants to be vindicated. He wants to be exonerated. He wants a full trial with witnesses. I've got some audio from Lindsey Graham we'll get into where he says, no, we're not going to be calling witnesses. We're going to do this like we've done every other impeachment. And the House, they don't have a case. Or should the Senate hear the opening remarks from both sides and then go ahead and have that motion to dismiss voted on and say we're not going to justify this by putting the country through yet another 2 or 3 or 4 weeks of a show trial, circus trial. Very, very fascinating times we live in.
Indeed.
So are you here all week?
Actually, I'll reverse the question. Are you here?
I'm here all week, though I have decided to take Christmas Day off.
That's probably a good idea.
I had to fight it out with Kelly,
We'll be back and forth between me and Jeff.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow?
Tomorrow it's Jeff.
All right. Well, then I'll see you on Thursday.
Thursday.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Thanks for your time, Mark.
You bet.
Man, it's already 5:20. Phone lines are wide open. 303-696-1971. We'll dig in a little bit to this piece that I wrote for the Colorado Sun, published yesterday. Cory Gardner will do the right things, acquit President Trump, and win in 2020. You can imagine there are a few differing opinions about that. All that, so much more. Katie Hopkins. Who else we got today? My good buddy, Washington, D.C. insider for Tea Party Patriots, Bill Pasco. Get some very interesting perspective on what's going on in D.C. right now. And I'll tell you about the rest of the show when we come back. We got to take our first pause. I'm Randy Corporan in for Peter Boyles. Peter will be checking in with us later and a big event tonight that I'll tell you about when we come back as well. So I hope you'll stay with us on the Peter Boyles Show, 710 KNUS.
The Peter Boyles Show.
We're back. It's 5:29. I'm Randy Corporan in for Peter Boyles today. Peter will be calling in later on. I'll tell you about the big sale event going on at Centennial Gun Club as well. And, can't wait till the top of the hour when we expect to be joined by Katie Hopkins live from the Great Britain. I think she's in the London area, but with Brexit coming up, with the big statement up. Play for you from Boris Johnson regarding Hanukkah. Should be a fascinating few minutes with Katie Hopkins. But right now, call from a good friend from Kentucky, Dr. Marty Fox, a big, big, big player on Twitter, 182,000 plus followers, and just some of the smartest political commentary ever. I met Dr. Farty, met Dr. Marty, so to speak, when he was calling in as a regular guest on the Bill Bennett Show, which used to play here at 710 KNUS. And we got connected a few years ago, and hopefully we get to meet real soon at Noah's Ark in Kentucky. Dr. Marty, welcome.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Randy. Listen, I'm literally walking down the hall to see a patient I'm going to operate on in about 20 minutes, so I have to make this quick.
Sure.
And you are way too kind to me. Thank you for all those comments. But listen, I go with the Mark Levin argument. I have the same visceral reaction to these liars and leakers who we want justice. We want some kind of justice, and I hope Bill Barr and Durham are gonna get that. But we cannot legitimize this kind of unconstitutional impeachment. The articles are unconstitutional. There's nothing in the Constitution about these bogus articles. And the process violates all the previous traditions. The founders warned about a faction. And a couple of Democrats from radical blue states are a faction. It's a completely partisan vote. And they, and you, as you mentioned earlier, they're going to keep impeaching. They're just going to keep doing this. And I believe that because they really don't have anything else. So you cannot permit it. You know, I think I go with Mark Levin's argument that McConnell should declare this null and void. It'll stop these future impeachments, and it'll maintain the integrity of the impeachment process. And the other thing is this: you don't have a criminal trial in the Senate. You don't have rules like that, and you're not going to have the kind of trial that we fantasize about. In fact, the Trump haters, you know, Pierre Delecto and friends, and there's probably a lot of closet Trump haters there, may take over the process, and it may end up to the detriment of President Trump. So, yeah, I honestly, I don't completely trust McConnell either.
Yeah.
He did give a great speech. He said all the right things, but I don't trust this man at all. And a lot of these people, like McConnell, have deals, very questionable deals. He with China, Kerry, Kerry's not there, but I mean, a lot of these senators, I believe, have a lot of questionable deals as well, and they're looking out to protect themselves. So I say declare this null and void and end it.
I know you've got a surgery to go perform. Do you have a minute or so for a little back and forth?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Did you hear any of the conversation between Mark Levin and Ken Starr last night?
Yes, I did. I watched it.
I did not get a chance to watch it. I saw just a few minutes of it. But it was interesting because on the TV show, Mark is always so sedated and so respectful, letting the other person's point of view be heard. But when Ken Starr came out and said, you know, the most deliberative body and they need to show fairness to the process, and Mark, you know, instead of "you big dope," as he, like he might on his radio show with a caller, he pushed back and he said,
"Get off the phone, you big dope."
Yeah, he pushed back and he said, you know, the same argument you just made. Why do we want to validate this sham impeachment from the House? And the only thing that would cause me to disagree with the perspective that you just laid out so well is the president seems to be demanding a vindication, an exoneration. He wants to put up witnesses. He doesn't want to go down in history as somebody who made a bad phone call, but it wasn't impeachable, because he says it's not a bad phone call. He did exactly what he was elected to do, including directing and controlling the use of foreign aid and fighting against corruption, all of those kinds of things. The president wants an exoneration. What's your response to that?
I think that's good because he knows he's innocent, and that's what an innocent man does. But he's not going to get it in a trial in the Senate. Yeah, you saw that Lindsey Graham video in Ukraine with getting the award, blah blah blah.
Yeah. Scary.
None of these people are going to allow that kind of a trial where they're going to be exposed as well. So I think that's a good position for him to take. You know, that's what an innocent man does. But I don't think he's going to, even if they agree to it, he's not going to get what he thinks he's going to get from these people. There needs to be a separate process to deal with people like Schiff, et cetera.
Yeah, well, I really do agree with you. Don't give it any legitimacy in the Senate. Shut it down. We've got the Barr and Durham investigations going on. We've got all kinds of different ways to be digging out the information that's needed to show the corruption in Ukraine and in our deep state governmental officials between now and the election. Don't run the risk of anything. You mentioned Pierre Delecto, Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Why would we give any of those guys a shot at this president? I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and you can expect speeches from the floor that'll be run endlessly on CNN and MSNBC that'll just make Trump look bad. So, yeah, and they're not going to. You're not going to get any fair hearing on CNN.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's the other thing. Right? The president's already won this argument. The popularity polls, the fundraising for Republicans, the way people are turning out at the rallies. American people are not paying attention to this. It's the radical left. You know, go ahead, buddy. You got to
go?
Go ahead.
Great point. No, that is a great point. He has won. He has already won the argument. He has nowhere to go but down. I would not give McConnell and some of these people I consider traitors in the Senate an opportunity to even make a speech about this, because I guarantee it will end up negative for President Trump.
And what is the one thing we can always rely on Republicans to do? It's screw up, you know, snatch victory or snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Absolutely right.
All right, buddy. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Good luck, and good to talk to you. Hope to see you soon.
Okay, thank you. Listen, I'm going to try to play you in the operating room for everyone to hear. I'm going to make them all listen to Katie Hopkins.
There you go. Sounds great to me.
Yeah.
Take care, Dr. Okay. Murray.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. And, Peter will be calling in later, but I do want to tell you about the Centennial Gun Club. Big sale tonight. And Peter Boyles will be there from 5 to 8 for some Christmas shopping. Great deals on accessories like speed loaders, targets, cleaning accessories, magazines, private instruction, and so much more. I heard Peter might even be there at 4:30, but don't tell anybody. But go to centennialgunclub.com/Peter for complete details. Centennial Gun Club's a place where we do our town halls. They've been monthly ever since the passage of the red flag law. They've been wall to wall, absolutely free of charge, packed rooms. Dick Abramson, the owner over there at Centennial, turning over his facility for this very important educational opportunity. But tonight is a great opportunity to get those last minute accessories, stocking stuffers, or maybe even a whole lot more for your favorite gun lover. And that's at Centennial Gun Club. And hopefully we'll get to hear from Dick later on, maybe around 8 o'clock, in the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up at 6, though, we expect, it's not always a guarantee, but we made it work last time to connect with Katie Hopkins. Katie Hopkins is the incredible writer and public speaker. We had her here in Colorado two or three months ago in a sold-out event where she was talking about how important it is for Brexit to happen, how much she was in love with Boris Johnson, how optimistic she was that he would pull this off, and it looks like he now will. And she is also an outspoken voice on the concerns of a society that is allowing Muslim minorities to dictate policy and behavior, violate the law, etc. She is an outspoken critic of Islam and the danger it can bring to a free society. And the reason that I reached out to her, I mean, I always follow her on Twitter. It's fascinating to read her stuff. But the reason I was thinking about her and wanted to bring her on was this statement that Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of Great Britain, made, I believe it was yesterday at the start, or Saturday at the start of Hanukkah.
The Hanukkah light tonight, and in the nights to come, I want you to remember this. When the Maccabees drove the forces of darkness out of Jerusalem, they had to do so on their own. Today, as Britain's Jews seek to drive back the darkness of resurgent anti-Semitism, you have every decent person in this country fighting by your side, because Britain would not be Britain without its Jewish community. And we will stand with you and celebrate with you at Hanukkah and all year round. Hag Hanukkah Sameach.
Yeah, and Katie added to that, decent Brits stand side by side with our Jewish friends as we fight back against the raging anti-Semitism of leftists and their Islamist voting base. Should be a fascinating conversation at 6 o'clock. 303-696-1971 is our number. We'll take our pause now on the Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corcoran here at 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply. Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
Peter Boyle Show at 548. Randy Corcoran here for Pete all week long. But just in case you forgot what he sounded like or thought maybe he was up skiing forever, we've got our good buddy Peter Boyles joining us right now. Good morning, sir.
I get used to this.
I tell you what, it ain't bad.
Man, I get used to this.
Hey, you know, I got to tell you, I've been fighting this cough and stuff, but yesterday it was so nice. I blew off the dust. I rolled out the Harley, and I used it to go get my cough medicine. Did you get out yesterday?
Yeah, I did. Good. And sometimes you just got to, you know, get your knees in the breeze, you know.
It really made me feel good. I dressed warmly, you know, but it wasn't really that cold. It just felt so good to be out there, kind of calm me down.
Only in Colorado can you ski for 2 days and then go ride your motorcycle. So
I
did a lot of therapeutic things. It was like I sent Billy the picture of me and Santa Claus on skis. Of course, Gary DeFrange and I skied in Winter Park a couple of days. Snow's great. And ran into Santa Claus getting off the gondola.
Yeah.
Got a picture.
Yeah.
So tonight's our big night. You going to go with me or are you going to go play hangout? Are you going to come show up with the old man?
You know, I'm gonna see how I feel after the show. I'm feeling pretty good now, so I may drop by at least for a while. You're going to get there. I promoted 5 to 8. Is that about the time you're going to be there tonight?
Yeah, you know, I'll go over to see Dick about 4:30, see Steve and everybody.
Okay.
But this is shopping night. Centennial Gun Club, and I haven't been promoting it because I haven't been working, but you're kind, and Dick's kind, and Kelly Michaels is kind, and so tonight, Centennial Gun Club on Arapahoe Road, everybody knows where that is. I get there about 4:30, and you'll get there, and we'll just, I mean, I don't, you know, I just, the guy that really enjoys firearms, I'm not pretending to. I got called on somebody, do you have a license to sell guns? I said, I didn't know you needed one. I mean, the internet has been a very interesting place for guys like us to cruise around on the last 2.5 weeks. But I said, I don't think I need a license to sell guns. And besides that, I'm not going to sell any guns. I'm just going to go, hey, hi, you know, here's a cool gun for you. Right, so, you know, do you need a license to sell guns?
Private guns don't need to be, you don't need a license to sell them privately, but yeah, if you're selling stuff like any other store, you need retail tax licenses, et cetera. Dick has federal firearms licensure.
Course.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, you know how the internet works. But
we're not going to be taking people's money and writing them up receipts. We're going to say hello, shake some hands.
Shaking hands.
Yeah.
We'll be kissing hands and shaking babies.
You know me. I put a card, a law firm card, in everybody's hands, especially with Red Flag coming up here in just a couple of weeks now. So
I know a couple of times when we're together, and you're in the ambulance, you get up in your motorcycle and chase it. So
and catch it.
Reel it in. Oftentimes.
So, yeah. You know, Dick's,
so anyhow, it's going to be fun tonight,
And Dick's store is fantastic. The range is unbelievable. I've been in there.
He's the guy.
Executive areas for the executive club members. And he's so committed to the community. That's why he does these free red flag town halls we've been doing every month for the last 6 months now.
Yeah, he's my guy. And Steve Brunell and everybody will be there. And it'll be fun. And then we have, and I was thinking, last night, I think the holiday season started with the toy run. Had a great day at the toy run. And then we followed that up with a step number, step 13, which was an overwhelming success. And then Clothes for Kids. I talked to the ham ones last night, the Kenny and Sue, they called. And that was a tremendous success for Clothes for Kids. So we wrap it all up with the holiday season. So we had three good ones. I mean, the toy run was, the weather broke for the toy run, and Step Denver was probably the best time they've had in terms of, I think they got seven vehicles and over $70,000 on that one. I think we did 15 for clothes for kids and then all the clothes. And so it's been great. I mean, 710K in US has allowed us to do all those things, and this is good. So,
and the listeners of 710K in US, whether it was injection sites, whether it was the ice rallies or just anything where we put out the call, 710K in US listeners respond. And that's such an honor to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to my daughter last night. I said, hell of a year. I mean, we'll see what 2020 brings. Yeah. But it's also been a hell of a couple of weeks. Internally as well as externally in the news and everything that's happened.
Well, the music's in the background, but tonight it's five to nine. Yeah, sounds good.
We'll talk to you next hour. Thanks for doing this, Randy.
All right. God bless you, buddy.
And the best to Billy Thorpe, who's the best.
Yeah.
Bye, Bubba.
Thanks,
talk
man.
To you.
All right.
Bye.
All right, Peter Boyles, 5 to 9 at Centennial Gun Club. Those last minute gifts for your favorite gun lover or classes, education, targets, speed loaders, cleaning accessories, whatever. CentennialGunClub.com/Peter for all the details. And if I feel, it's not far for me, if I feel good enough today, I will join Peter later on as well. So when we come back, Katie Hopkins, I know we've got callers. Sit tight, everybody, or call back in about 15 or 20 minutes. I'm Randy Corporan in for Peter Boyles here at 710. It's KNUS.